Welcome to the Early Childhood Development Series. The series begins with a conversation I had with Professor Eric Atmore, who is an early childhood development specialist. Prof is an associate professor at the University of Cape Town and an extraordinary associate professor at the University of Stellenbosch in the Education Policy Studies Unit. Early childhood development is a priority in South Africa. ECD deals with the child's physical growth, language development, emotional awareness, self-control, social skills, and identity. Essentially, it is laying the foundation for all future health, behavior, and learning. Children raised in deprived or impoverished conditions, where services are limited, experience compromised opportunities towards a good standard of adult life. This episode is produced by Tsidi Lenghwasa.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And you?
We must be good.
Yes, we must be good. So, Prof, before we start the discussion on early childhood development, the first part I really want to know is, what is early childhood development?
Early childhood development is the processes by which young children grow and develop and thrive. It takes into account that their cognitive development, their social development, their emotional development, and their educational development. And it's a very important stage in the life cycle
of a child, right? And then
of a human being.
Oh, okay. Actually, because it starts there, the foundation is built during the early childhood part of the life of a human being, basically.
Exactly.
Okay. And then, Prof, what made you study and invest your time in the ECD space? Why do you conduct a lot of research? Why do you consult regarding this sector personally?
My background is a very happy childhood, and although there was not a lot of money, and I grew up in a pretty working class environment, mm-hmm. I think the way your parents work with you and the way that your parents bring you up are so important. And when I graduated from university as an undergraduate, it was a natural sector to gravitate to, simply because if you want to make an impact, make it as early as possible. And the research bears that out. So that, in a short story, is the background.
Okay, yeah. So you believe children should be raised with love and care, definitely. And then that is not the reality for most young children in South Africa. So many children in South Africa experience inadequate access to healthcare, to education and social services, right? And then this is also shown in the space, in the ECD space. And then I think it's important to also note it's sort of different depending on where you are. There's a geopolitical component about it. So if a child comes from a township, a rural community, and then chances are they would not necessarily experience the best or input of the ECD sector, because that is informal. That sector is largely informal in informal settings, in rural communities as well. And then on the other hand, you have those who are living in urban areas who have access to better education, better healthcare. But with all these things happening, when did South Africa take early childhood development as a priority?
It's sad to say this, but we have still not yet taken early childhood as a priority. If you go back in history, pre-1994, white children, or children classified as white, they got substantial services, with some funding being channeled to white children, but virtually nothing to children who were classified in those in that terminology as colored, Asian, and black.
Yeah.
When we transitioned to a democratic South Africa, we had an expectation that government would deliver for all young children and that early childhood development would be a priority. The sad reality 26 years later is that there has been movement, there have been positive initiatives. The two big initiatives are the institution of Grade R, which is reaching just over 800,000 children at the moment, and the child support grant. Those have been very positive developments. But if you look at the early childhood development opportunities for young children, it's still skewed along racial and geographic lines, as you say. There's certainly no equity. If you're an urban child in a wealthy family, you can purchase early childhood services of the highest quality. Mm. But as you move down the economic ladder, so to speak, and you move into historically colored and black areas, black African areas, which were set up by the apartheid government, the quality of the early childhood programs and services decreases substantially. So in an affluent area, you could have a purpose-built, single-purpose, beautiful brick-and-mortar building with all the equipment and trained teachers and good nutritious meals. But when you go into the poorer areas, areas previously designated as colored or black, you'll find that the quality of the centers, the physical structures, could be a wooden iron shack, it could be a disused garage, but there's little equipment, the teachers are untrained, the children don't get a good meal, and there's very little learning taking place. So the historical differences dating back hundreds of years are still manifest in early childhood development today.
And then, Prof, as you were speaking, I'm thinking also the Bill of Rights largely responds to the inequalities, the problems that we experienced in the past, and they're trying to say that everyone deserves dignity, everyone deserves freedom, and we shall all be treated as equal, right? And then at the same time, the Bill of Rights makes provision for children, socioeconomic rights, in that they have a right to basic education, they have a right to protection, from protection of neglect and exploitation. But also ECD addresses all of these components, and it does it in such a way that there's a nutritional requirement, there's a social service requirement. There are many requirements as well that are taken into consideration. Don't you think it's like, it's more of an overburden because they saw all of these factors interlinked? And don't you think that also creates challenges in terms of implementation?
Yes, if you look at the South African Constitution, as good as it is, it mentions the child's right to basic education. And if you read the Bill of Rights, it's explicit on that. Then South Africa signed the United Nations Convention of the Rights of the Child, which focuses on early years and early education and well-being. Then we've got the National Integrated Early Childhood Development Policy, which is a world-class policy. The policy is excellent. The reality is that we haven't provided the resources and the political will to deliver on that. So if I give you some numbers, we've got about 6.5 to 7 million children under the age of 6 in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And a little over 2 million are in an early childhood development program or have early childhood development opportunities. That's about 36 to 38%. And those are the generally advantaged children. The bulk of children, and you mentioned rural areas, do not have access, or where there is access, it's of low quality. So despite our government signing all these documents and talking about it in the budget speech and in the State of the Nation address, the reality on the ground is that it's not being implemented because there is no political will, mm-hmm. and because senior officials do not have the capacity to deliver on the policy.
And then from the work that you have done, Prof, does social development, because what usually comes up as an issue, right, regarding interdepartment activities is that they do not necessarily communicate with each other. So when does DSD step in? When does, which is the Department of Social Development, when does the Department of Health step in, and when does basic education step in the life of a child? So you have this one child, and then all these departments are servicing this one child, but when does each one start servicing the other?
The National Integrated ECD policy that I mentioned, and which I think is an outstanding policy, talks very strongly about intergovernmental and interdepartment collaboration. But you are dead right. There's very little communication. There's very little active service provision. And to give you a classic example, when we moved to lockdown level 3 under COVID, the basic education department allowed 3, 4, 5 and 6 year olds to go back to their ECD centers, but the Department of Social Development didn't allow it. And that's an anomaly. And it's clearly indicative that the two departments did not speak to each other. I think the Department of Health provides really good services for preschool children, everything from prenatal checks up. But also immunization, feeding advice. And I think the big weakness you've identified, that there's little communication and there's lots of battles around turf and whose responsibility who wants that slice of the budget.
Oh yeah, there's also that. And then Prof, are there many policies that govern ECD? Because maybe we can look at it at a department level, right? But then also you'll find that all these departments are required in terms of policy that they do this. But are there any, like, are there major policies that are in conflict with each other? Maybe, I don't know. Or there's a challenge in terms of implementing those policies.
The overriding legislation for early childhood development is the Children's Act. Okay. And the Children's Act is generally a good instrument of legislation. There are two chapters that affect early childhood development, one on partial care and one on early childhood development. Now, these two chapters of the legislation, they do have weaknesses. And there's a activism going on at the moment to correct that. But if we come at a policy level, the National Integrated ECD policy is very, very good, but it is not being implemented. If we did what that policy says we must do as a country and as a government, every child will grow up healthy and safe and secure with learning opportunities. But the spheres of government that are responsible for making that policy reality are not doing their work.
Yeah, I hear that. And then Prof, there's also this issue that keeps on coming up that I am not understanding fully, right? It's the infrastructure component of ECD centers, where the infrastructure has been highlighted as a barrier that some people do not access their funding because they don't meet the requirements. But then at the same time, when you look at the locality or where people are living, they really don't meet the requirements of where a human being is supposed to exist, when being honest. So the environment itself, for example, in an informal settlement where there are many shacks, building a structure might be a difficult thing, but then you might have many children in that community who need services of an ECG center. How does government then meet people halfway to say that, by the way, we see and recognize your efforts in trying to get children to school or you taking care of children, but we can't support you because, let's say, you don't have the required documentation, you don't have the required infrastructure. So how much of that is a barrier?
Infrastructure is a massive problem. You know, for a good quality program to be offered, you need a reasonable infrastructure. Now, we are not saying you need a five-star hotel.
Yes.
But you need an area which is spacious, which is safe for young children. So infrastructure is a massive problem because you can only get registered if the infrastructure is in place, and you can only get financial support if you are registered. So these ECD centers live in a catch-22 situation.
Yeah.
They cannot get subsidy because they're not registered, but they cannot get registered because the infrastructure is not suitable. Government does not, as a general practice, provide infrastructure. There are some institutions that do so. The National Lottery has built a lot of preschools, and some municipalities, mostly Cape Town and Swane, have built ECD facilities of the highest quality. But for your average community, and you mentioned informal settlements, because the standards are one size fits all. So whether you live in Sandton or in Orange Farm, the standards are the same. And that is preventing ECD centers from getting registered and thus getting subsidized. My estimate is that of the 32,000 ECD centers in the country, fewer than 20% are in good quality infrastructure. And like almost everything else, those are built in affluent areas and in areas of privilege.
Yeah. So the inequality begins at an earlier age, really, like before children can really articulate themselves and stuff. That's disheartening. And then there was an exercise that the president tried to work on, which is migrating the entire ECD sector into the Department of Basic Education. How has the transition been, if you know anything? And do you believe that this is a great move, possibly? Or also, what is it that you would like to see happening during the transitioning?
We're well aware of the migration from social development to basic education. And I think it's too early to make a decision or to have a view that it's a good thing or a bad thing. It could work really, really, really well if the Department of Basic Education has the capacity to deliver on the ECD policy and on the constitutional imperatives. We've seen some of the documentation, and the intended date is April next year.
Yeah.
I know that in the Western Cape, they are strongly against April, saying it is too soon, and there's the possibility of legal action against the national departments. I think we need to hold our judgment as to whether it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Okay.
It could end up to be really good, provided that there's good political leadership and that there's funding to the sector to make it work. I started off this interview by saying that Grade R has generally worked very, very well.
Yes, definitely.
It's reaching It's reaching more than 800,000 children. The quality in some grade R centers is poor, but it's not a bad program. So yeah. I'm holding my tongue on saying whether it's a good or a bad thing. In many countries around the world, it is the Department of Education that is responsible for early childhood development. But we have to fill those positions, those senior government positions, we have to fill them with competent and energetic people mm-hmm. who are going to work in the interest of young children. And their national treasury is going to have to significantly increase its funding if we're going to make ECD work under the Department of Basic Education.
Yeah. And then, Prof, I'm also hearing that it should not be a process that is rushed. It should be a process that takes time. But what is good time, really?
Look, any process that is as complex as this, because this involves moving funding from one department to another. It also involves moving officials. So those people working in ECD in the provincial departments of social development will have to move to the provincial department of basic education. Then there's getting the support of communities and getting communities to understand the function shift. Now, all of that is going to take time. I think we will not meet the April 2021 target, especially since we've had 7 months of COVID. But yeah. I know the intended final completion, and I've seen this on basic education department publications and slides, is only the year 2030 to have it fully operational. So it's a mammoth task. The National Treasury is central to it, because National Treasury is going to have to make decisions about transferring funding. And there could even be legal action against changing people's positions from one government department to another. So I think we're in for a rough time, but the sooner we can get it done competently, the better it'll be for young children.
Okay, that also makes sense, because we really don't want a rush job that will be a problem later. So in as much as we have targets, but it's good that we are reasonable in meeting those targets. And then, Prof, you've shared a lot of insights, and there have been, I thank you also for acknowledging the good work that has been done by the various departments, because I think we should not always criticize government as if there's no work being done. There is some work being done. It's just that we need to level it up a bit. Any last pointers from you regarding the work done in the ECD space as a closing remark?
I think, you know, for a country to prosper, we cannot do anything but listen to the words of the late and great O.R. Tambo, Oliver Tambo. Mm-hmm. He made a profound statement. He made a profound statement many, many years ago. And he said that a country that does not appreciate its children and does not serve its children does not deserve its future. And I think that's profound, that we need to make conditions available where we reduce inequality, we reduce poverty, we bring about equity. And the place to start where we're going to get the greatest benefit is from conception to birth and from birth to 6 years of age. If we can get that right, I mean, if we can give every child a good grounding, I think this country could become one of the world's success stories. We've got about 180,000 entrepreneurial passionate and active woman caring for just over 2 million children every day. We need to support them. They will deliver for us and they will live the Mandela legacy that we need so much.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. No, thank you, Prof. Thank you for recognizing women as well. Thank you so much. And I really appreciate that you have invested your time sharing your knowledge and doing the work. We really appreciate it. And thank you again for your time.
It's a pleasure. And thank you for what you're doing for young children. You'll never know who listens into this podcast and who is moved to take action. I think you're doing a wonderful job. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Bro.